It's that wonderful, it's that most wonderful time of the day, week, when we get to talk to none other than the food maven, Arthur Schwartz. Hello, Arthur.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Oh, you sound so...
All I keep thinking about is, I'm not joking here, is how I deprived myself of apples for two seasons because I was on keto, the keto diet. And most people don't realize, but apples are a real big no-no on keto because each one has your total carbohydrates for the day. And that's not even a big apple.
Huh.
Anyway, I am now wallowing in apples, and I can't stop baking with apples. Next is baking with apples. That didn't make sense. I've been baking cake with apples, but I want to make baked apples, which we love. But I'm looking for Roma apples, and even though they're supposed to be in season now, I haven't seen any. You know the Romas, those big, big apples that our mothers always baked?
Yes.
My mother always baked.
My mother
was big on baked apples because she thought it was a healthy dessert, which it is, better than a piece of cake. As soon as they are around, I'm going to be baking Roma apples. I bake all kinds of apples. I don't have to have Roma, but... I'm busy with other things. There's just so many apples out there.
So what is apple season?
It gets confusing.
What is apple season technically?
Technically now.
Well, I understand technically now, but I remember from Buffalo, apples...
In late August, some apples ripen early in the last half of August. I see them at the farmer's market. I forget which varieties they are. But it's September and October, even into November, is... there's usually a hard frost sometime in mid-October. And I'm just speaking locally.
Right.
Meaning Hudson Valley and local apples.
I understand. Yeah. I'm just thinking because, you know, that there was the moment right along with Rosh Hashanah where apples, you know, apple cake, where apples and the new year were... coincide.
Yeah, the modern day celebration includes apples dunked into honey, which was not such a big deal when I was a kid. I mean, we had the honey on the table, but I recall dunking challah into the honey,
right?
more than apples into the honey.
Yeah, I didn't make the apple into the honey switch. But what is fascinating to me, and this is where Mr. Harned.
Oh, yes.
Okay. What?
In what of his many roles do you need him today?
Calendar.
Calendar.
Yes, because as you probably know, and he certainly does, in 1582.
Yeah.
We went from October 4th to October 15th. Thank you, Pope Gregory.
Okay.
So we lost those days. It was like you woke up on what would be the 5th, and it was the 15th.
Okay.
Which would affect apple season. So, in fact, if you add those days, which is the Julian calendar, as you know, the Eastern Orthodox, Orthodox, other holidays, other countries do use the Julian calendar. And today is September 19th on the Julian calendar because of that. So apple season, in fact, is long. We're either, depending on the planet that you're from, in the middle of...
I don't think the apples know from calendars.
Yeah, but...
So the apples themselves know from the sun, the temperature, the amount of rain, a lot of things, but not the calendar. So I don't know. When you say apple season... When they start coming off the trees locally, that to me is apple season. But on the other hand, we eat apples from South America all winter long or summer long or all along. We eat apples from everywhere these days. New Zealand, Argentina. What did I just see the other day that was coming from Argentina? Oh, lemons. I bought lemons the other day. It ends up they were from Argentina. So, It's always, as the lushes like to say, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. So it's always apple season somewhere. In fact, Granny Smith's, do we remember? Granny Smith's was a Southern Hemisphere variety that Americans got stuck on because they're so crisp and they have a good flavor. I like Granny Smith's. But, you know, every apple is different. And so, which brings me to my Honeycrisps. Now, you've noticed, I'm sure, that Honeycrisps are much more expensive than other apples. This is because the University of Minnesota, I believe it is, has a patent on Honeycrisp. They developed the variety. So somebody brought me three precious Honeycrisps as a gift. And we didn't eat them right off. And then, I got four. And I ate one, finally. And it was not that great. It was hardly sweet. The other three sat in the refrigerator. And my other phone is ringing, but I don't want to answer it.
So, keep talking.
Yeah. Well, but it's distracting me. So, anyway, stopped. That's because whoever it was gave up.
Honeycrisps.
Oh, so I had three Honeycrisps. Now, I am going to admit I am a TikToker. I do like watching TikTok, but I do the Shayna DePersia rule. Shayna is this young woman in our life. She's a daughter of dear friends. And Shayna says that you should only go on TikTok when you're waiting for somebody and when you're on the toilet. So I'm waiting for people a lot, so I get to go on TikTok.
Good, because you're not the only one. TikTok isn't the only one who's recording you on the toilet, you should tell her.
Anyway, on TikTok, because it's apple season, there are a lot of recipes for an apple cake that I've been thinking about making for years and just haven't gotten around to it. And it's more or less a batter with fruit as opposed to a real cake. And the end result is rather custardy, which I love, but it gets, because of all the sugar in it, it gets very crusty around the bottom and edges, and it's really delicious. But I just happened across one of these recipes that called for three apples, and I had these three Honeycrisps in the fridge. So I made it. Everything else I had in the house didn't need anything. I'm happy to give you this recipe because it gets. You don't even need a mixer. You know, you do the whole thing with a whisk, and you whisk together two eggs and a cup of sugar. So you can add the sugar gradually or not add it gradually. It doesn't really matter. But do whisk, 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 and keep on whisking until your mixture of eggs and sugar is really thick and does form a ribbon that quickly dissolves. So you don't need to beat it so much that, you know, in the old days we said it has to form a ribbon that slowly dissolves. Well, this is going to form a slight ribbon that fast dissolves, but that's fine. Then you beat in one stick of melted butter. That's a half a cup of melted butter. Remember, this is dessert. And with the butter, you can add, you melted butter and let it cool. You don't want to add hot butter to this. Let it cool. With a teaspoon of vanilla, a half a teaspoon of salt, and then finally, a half a cup of flour and a half a cup of milk and 2 teaspoons of baking powder. You can just dump the half cup of flour on top, pour in the half cup of milk, sprinkle on top the 2 teaspoons of baking powder, and again whisk. You should end up with a very nice smooth batter into which you're going to put those three apples peeled. I don't core, but sliced. And I'll tell you what I do is I cut the apple, and after it's peeled, I cut the apple in half through the stem end and then slice down on either side of the core. And you'll end up as thin as you can do it, really, as thin as possible. I was going to bring out the mandolin to do this, but in the end, I did it with a knife, and It came out great. So, except that you will end up with like a bump of skinny apple over the core, so you can slice that into smaller type slices. This doesn't have to be pretty. You put your three sliced apples, of course you don't use the cores, three sliced apples into the batter and mix it with a spatula so that the apples all get coated, and pour it into a well, but now, the original recipe that I saw on TikTok told you to put parchment on the bottom of a 9-inch cake pan. But looking at this batter, I said, I'm not sure. I think this could be too much for a 9-inch cake pan. And I don't have any parchment paper in the house. I keep forgetting to buy some. I always have it. Not the other day when I wanted to make this. So I put it in a deep dish pie plate, a Pyrex pie plate. This is a guy that I don't think they even make this anymore. Maybe they do, but mine's got to be 40 years old. And I, a lot of things I make in it. I like it for a lot of reasons. And it held the batter perfectly. Very well buttered. I didn't bother with the parchment. And it goes into a 375-degree oven for 55 to 60 minutes. It should be nice and well browned on the top. You don't want the edge, which will be super well browned, to burn. So pull it out if you think it's going to burn. 55 minutes is enough. I sort of like the 60 minutes better, but one way or the other, it's delicious. So that was one. That got me into this baking thing.
All right, so just before we...
Yes.
Okay, so from the is there anything you do different from the TikTok thing, or...?
No, the only thing is I didn't put parchment on the bottom of my baking dish.
Did it matter?
Well, since this is a very funny kind of dish, it's a Pyrex deep dish pie plate that actually has a decorative rim.
Right.
You know, like a pie, an actual pie would. And I served it out of the dish. So it did, one, after you got the first wedge out, oh, by the way, you must let it cool for at least a half an hour. It will fall apart otherwise, because it is custardy.
Okay.
So let it cool for at least a half an hour. It's delicious at room temperature. It's delicious, warm. I gave a big hunk to my neighbor. She put vanilla ice cream on it. I would have if I'd had it in the house. It's a perfect foil for whipped cream, of course. Yes, it came out of the pie plate very easily. You will need to take a sharp knife around the very edge because that's where it's most caramelized. And you're going to get a nice caramelized bottom and sides, and this just apples held together with batter.
Sounds yummy.
So yeah, and it's also, you know, you just do it with in a bowl, one bowl with a whisk.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the mixing of this is super easy, but it took me many years of not being a very good baker to graduate to I'm a pretty good baker when I learned how to mix things. And my example is my favorite apple cake. This cake recipe was given to me by a friend whose aunt made it in the 1970s, 50 years ago, mid-70s, yeah. And I made it the way she did it, and it was never my favorite cake, but my friend loved it, and when Bruce came over, I would make it, and that was it. And I think it ended up in my first cookbook, too. But after that, I learned how to mix it properly, and now it's my favorite cake. And it's an apple walnut cake, a Jewishy cake. It was introduced to me as German Jewish, but baked in a tube pan or a bundt pan, but in a sheet form, I would say a 2-inch high sheet cake. They still sell it in some old-fashioned Jewish bakeries here in Brooklyn, and they'll tell you that it's Austro-Hungarian, which I would believe, being an Austro-Hungarian myself, more than it is German. So, but who knows? Cakes know no political boundaries, as apples don't know calendars. So this is made. This is for a 12 cup. I like to use a tube pan with a removable tube portion, but because I like to keep the crusty top on the top. If you bake this in a bundt pan, which looks great, gotta say, your crustiest part, the top layer, will become the bottom, and it won't be so crusty. I like the crust. In fact, I like this cake several days after it's baked and not covered with plastic, but just covered maybe with a piece of loose foil, or if you have a cake dome, that's perfect, and the crust will get crustier. And I the contrast between this very moist cake is terrific. So here's a recipe that you have to... Well, let me say, this recipe... mixed form, is in my book Jewish Home Cooking. And speaking of Jewish home cooking, I'm doing a presentation with Roseanne Gold and Leah Koenig at the Eldridge Street Synagogue on October 17th. I believe it's at 7:30. And if you go online to the Eldridge Street Synagogue, which is this very, very old, you know, it's a Lower East Side, early 20th century, elaborate synagogue that has been restored and where they now have events. I don't think it operates as a synagogue anymore. Anyway, we're going to be there October 17th in the evening, and everybody's welcome, but you got to register. So you go to the website for the Eldridge Street Synagogue, if you happen to be in New York that week.
Which happens to be, by the way, Eldridge, E-L-D-R-I-D-G-E, street.org. And it's pretty cool, the website. So
it's a very cool place.
Now I'm going to look you up. All right.
Right, with Leah Koenig and Roseanne Gold.
Okay.
So here's this cake, which is in my Jewish book because it is a parav cake. Parav means... it goes both ways.
Do you know, I had
you can have it with a meat meal or a dairy meal. What were you going to say, Jill?
I was going to say, is it parav?
Or parva.
Or parava.
I don't want to get into that.
Because I had to look it up just the other day. Because I was looking at this word going, and people spell it differently. And I was looking at this word going, wait a second. I don't know how to say that.
Well, I say P-A-R-E-V-E, to me, is parav.
Right.
But I have seen parva, P-A-R-V-A, and who knows?
Okay.
It's a transliteration, so it's...
Parva.
It could be parova.
Right. You know. But the long short
anyway,
is it goes both ways.
It has neither dairy components, meaning butter or cheese or milk, or meat components, like... Well, I don't know what a meat component in a cake would be.
Does it mean that you can't eat it, that you can...
You can eat it any which way.
With both
meals.
At any
time of
meals.
Day or night.
Right, okay.
With any kind of meal.
This
That's
is important.
What that means.
Okay, Portico, Celebrate Rome's Jewish Kitchen with Leah Koenig, Arthur Schwartz, and Roseanne Gold.
Right, exactly. We're going to talk... I should have said that.
But it's
I'm
got...
Remiss.
Well, no, you did.
We're going to be talking about Roman Jewish food, apropos of the publication of Leah's new book, which is called Portico, because it's the Portico d'Ottavia of Octavia is the main street of what's called the Jewish ghetto. Of course, not many Jews live in the ghetto anymore. It's too expensive. They live in other neighborhoods in Rome, but that doesn't mean there is a Roman Jewish cuisine, and it's important, and that's what we're going to talk about.
All right.
So, anyway, back to my apple walnut cake. This makes a big cake, and it lasts for days. So I was also saying this is now mixed properly, which to say, the first thing you want to do is combine your dry ingredients in a large bowl. In this case, it's 3 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon. Of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of fine salt. I use sea salt in everything because that's what I have, but you know, whatever fine salt you have is okay. And those are the dry ingredients. Then in another bowl, you're going to combine, this has a apples coated in cinnamon sugar. So let's start by making the cinnamon sugar with 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon and 5 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and stir that to blend it. And then you, for the apples, now, you know, it's hard to say 4 apples, 5 apples, whatever, because apples come in all sizes. So I'm going to say this is about 4 apples, but cut into 1-inch pieces, it's going to be 4 to 5 cups. I have a 1-quart measure that has some extra room on the top, and I always fill it to the top. So it's probably more like 5 cups than 4, but 4 to 5 cups. Doesn't have to be exact in any case. And mix your apples, your cubed apples, in with the sugar and cinnamon, and they'll stay coated. Now, finally, we're going to mix the whole cake. And for this, you do need a stand mixer, or you can use a handheld mixer, electric mixer. You're going to beat your eggs for start. That would be 4 eggs. And add your sugar at this point, 2 cups of sugar. You know, I do this sort of gradually, and do that until they're light yellow and very thick. It's going to take at least a minute, probably a couple of minutes. And then, this is like making mayonnaise in a way. I always think of it that way. You're going to pour in your shortening, which in this case is vegetable oil. And it's because you're using vegetable oil here as the shortening that you can say this goes with meat meals or dairy meal, that it's parv or parva. Anyway, slowly pour in the oil, continuing to beat for another few seconds, and then your liquid in this case can be juice, orange juice, not milk, or apple juice, not milk, and now your vanilla, which would be a tablespoon of vanilla, and 1/4 cup of juice, whatever juice you're going to use. I don't know if I'd use prune juice, but I bet you it would work. Do not overmix this. Add the flour all at once and stir on the lowest speed of your mixer until it's all blended in. And by hand, now, you know, scrape off the batter, the beaters, and stir in by hand with a big spatula your apples that have been coated with cinnamon sugar and 1 cup of coarsely chopped walnuts. I'm telling you, this is a special cake. I make this not because I'm Jewish, but because I like the cake.
Oh, yeah. You've got the firstly, hopefully anyone remembers the joy of cinnamon toast, right? So,
oh, this does make your kitchen smell like heaven.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I saw this, but there was a potpourri that smelled, you know, had the cinnamon fall
right
aromas, and it was sold, or maybe it was a candle. It was sold, if you're selling your house, you should burn this candle.
It
makes your place so much more enticing.
And people drooled. So you know what? We have exactly 1 minute left.
I know. So in 1 minute, I can tell you that it goes into the oven for 1.5 hours. Did I tell you it's a 375-degree oven for 1.5 hours? And do let it cool before you attempt to take it out of the pan. At least 20 minutes. And then good luck with having leftovers.
Or failing, which, selling your house.
Yeah. Oh, and also, a hint. It's best to use a serrated bladed knife to cut this cake with, because you're going to be cutting through walnuts.
Right. All right.
I want cake.
I understand.
I made the other cake 3 times already.
Okay, so it's time to move on. Time for something new, so to speak.
Well, so to speak.
All right. So,
it is fall. It's a great cooking season.
And
it's great. You can finally turn the oven on without regret.
And we'll talk to you next week.
How is the rain by you?
The rain here was supposedly worse for you.
Well, yeah, I live in the highest point in Brooklyn, And even here, people's basements got flooded, including our basement, the apartment house basement.
So I was wondering about that, yeah. I live on a hill, so I usually...
Well, I live on a hill, too, so usually not a problem.
So that makes two of us,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it's called Prospect Park.
So you have a prospect.
Because
there's a beautiful prospect.
Down to the harbor.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, everybody have an apple-y week.
And
maybe somebody wants to tell me what their favorite variety is, because I'm totally confused now. I've just been buying what's on sale, which is pretty much everything, actually.
It's a way to do it during the appropriate season.
Yeah, well, in search of Roma's.
All right.
Take care, everybody.